Hello, you threadies. I hope you're having a fantastic day, night, evening, whenever you're listening to this episode. My name is Jason, one of the hosts, and this is just a little intro. We don't normally do these, but we had a different episode today. We had David Tiesma in, and he is Ben's friend. He's been on the show a couple of times, and what we had him do is he asked us a bunch of questions. He said, hey, I think a good episode would be is I come in with the rundown, what I'm going to do and everything, and you guys just sit there. And I was like, oh man, that sounds stressful. And it turned out incredible. It was such a great episode. So I hope you enjoy it. You can check out David Tiesma's podcast in the description of this podcast. You can download them, look them up, whatever. I encourage you to do so. So enjoy this somewhat unfiltered conversation in a different role for Ben and I. Thanks for listening.
Well, we'll go ahead and get started here. Ben, Jason.
Hello.
Thank you for inviting me on the show. Or did I invite myself, Ben?
You maybe a little bit invited yourself and asked if you could take over. So here we are.
Yeah, full transparency, a little nervous about this because like I sent a text to Ben earlier. I'm like, so are we recording tonight? And he's like, yep, 7 o'clock. I was like, okay, we haven't talked about anything all day. So here we go.
Yeah, I came up with this idea a couple weeks ago and Ben and I went out for lunch and I pitched it to him and he said, you know, I think that would work. Which may turn out to be a foolish choice by you guys. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right, so what's going to happen is I have taken over control of the podcast. There was a little bit of scuffling. There was fighting.
He's on the host side now.
Yep, that's right.
We're on the guest side.
You're in the spotlight. So what we're going to do is I'm going to subject you to a series of questions that I have already all written down. Ben and Jason do not know what these questions are. I even asked beforehand if they wanted to see the questions, and they said no. So this literally is cold. They do not know what I'm going to ask.
That's correct.
We're going to get... Go ahead, Ben.
I was just going to say, I usually have a show plan that I'm looking at, and by instinct, I grab the Chromebook when I get
Yeah, and I got my
studio.
Computer. I'm just looking at email. So.
And
I
don't know what you're looking
at. Nothing.
I have no idea what's about to happen, so...
Yeah, neither do I, really.
Let's go.
This is randomized. I have thought up 35 different questions and set them up into three different areas or three different parts of them. Set one is going to be just easier questions. Set two are questions that are a little bit more complicated, more diving into your psyche a little bit. And then number three are pretty deep questions. So you can bounce around as much as you want. I give you full control and authority. You know the numbers, how many questions are in each set of questions. So in a second, we'll get to those. But before we do, I have a little game we're going to play.
Okay.
Now, you guys have been doing this for over 3 years, and you know each other pretty well. We're going to find out who knows each other better. So I have a simple, a very simple, silly questions, and we're going to keep score, and we're going to see.
Of course we are.
Of course, of course. I'm assuming we're all competitive here.
Yeah. To a certain extent.
My competitive comes out in a little bit. Quieter way.
Ben's a ninja competitor.
Yes.
I understand
he
that.
He sneaks in the underneath.
The silent
assassin. I'm not loud about a lot of things. That's just me.
I've noticed that about you. It's a good thing. All right, so this is going to be quick. This is just preference things. Now remember, you're both going to answer these questions. I've got about 7 or 8 of them. I'm going to ask all of these, and you're going to answer for the other person. And then when we're done with all of them, we are going to decide who won and who knows each other the best based on this incredibly scientific, exhaustive test that has you cannot rebut the answers.
All right.
All right. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
So, Ben, Jason, what is the other person's favorite color?
For Jason, I'm going to go with green. Because he works in lawn care and he's wearing a green shirt right now.
Okay, fair enough. Jason, what do you think Ben's favorite color is?
I'm going to say gray.
Gray, fantastic. Okay.
That's all I ever see him in.
He's wearing gray right now.
I know.
Yeah. So, question two. Coke or Pepsi or a different beverage product? And we're talking soft drinks, not beer or alcohol, because that can get way too out there.
for Jason. Yeah. I believe he's a, I'm going to say Pepsi.
Okay.
So it has to be either Coke or Pepsi?
Coke or Pepsi, unless you know for sure there's another type of soft drink that they love or he would love.
Does it have to be soda?
Yeah, it has to be.
I'm going to say Diet Mountain Dew.
Okay. Question three, coffee, tea, or neither?
Coffee.
Coffee.
Okay. Sports or no sports?
No. Or wait. For
liking
Jason,
it or participating?
Watching. Like you're going to watch sports ball.
None.
None. None.
I'm going to say meh sometimes for Jason.
Okay. And do you know if this won't qualify for Ben, but you could pick up a bonus point here. Do you think he has a favorite sports team? And if so, do you know what it is?
Oh, I'm sure he does, but I don't
okay.
know.
That's okay. We can pass on that. All right. So
wait, I'm going to say yes, Tigers.
All right. Okay. All right. Just going right back to that one. That's okay.
You're not running the show, Ben.
I know. I got to loosen up a little bit.
You got to give that away. That's why we're doing something a little more fun. It's a little bit easier. So when you go to a restaurant, order the same thing every time, or are you adventurous and order something different, answering for the other person?
Go ahead, Ben.
Jason at Panera typically orders the same thing every time that I've noticed, so I'm going with that.
I'm going adventurous for Ben.
Okay. Do you floss regularly?
I'm going to say no for Ben.
I'm fair enough. Going to say yes for Jason.
All right. Last one, and this is another bonus question, a bonus point possibility. Favorite type of music that the other person likes? And the bonus point is if you can name the favorite band.
Oh, easy. Rock and roll, pop evil.
Shit.
I know Ben loves jazz, but I could not tell you anything about what he loves as far as artists or even a style of jazz.
Well,
jazz flute.
Well, we can go with favorite instrument, so we can't say favorite band. You want to go with jazz flute as favorite instrument?
Sure,
why not? That works for me. Okay, so we're going to go back through the answers now and just see who did better. So the first question, favorite color. Your favorite color is?
Green.
You got it right. Your favorite color is?
Don't even have one?
Wow. It's hard for me to pick. Always aqua growing up.
But so I mean, I feel
aqua.
Like...
Aqua? Whose favorite color is aqua?
Yeah.
I was that kid.
I feel like you kind of gravitate to your favorite color of kind of clothes you wear. Although green, I don't really have... I mean, I have this shirt I got for free. But I mean, I don't have a lot of green shirts. I just like the color green because he is right. But you don't have a favorite color, huh?
All right.
I mean, I just don't think about colors very often. If it comes to clothes I wear, they're usually pretty earth tone.
Yeah, that's why I said gray.
We're going to go 1 point for Ben on that one. All right, second question, Coke or Pepsi? And you said, so what's your, is it Coke or Pepsi?
I'm a Coke guy.
Okay, that's incorrect.
Well, but wait a minute.
What did you say?
Okay, but you said it could be either kind of drink, then you just specifically asked Coke or Pepsi.
Well, or, okay, but
what answer did Jason give?
He said Diet Mountain Dew. Would that be correct?
I do like Diet Mountain Dew.
Okay, that's a point for Jason. And then for you, Coke or Pepsi? He said Pepsi. Would that be correct?
I am not. For me?
For you.
No.
Okay. No.
It's either Monsters or Diet Mountain Dew.
All right. I'm a Diet Mountain Dew guy as well. So good job, guys. Coffee or tea? You both said coffee. Is that both correct?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Okay. You're basically tied 2-2 right now. All right, sports or no sports? Ben, for Jason, you said sometimes the Tigers. Is that correct?
Nope.
Okay.
You would have been closer if you would have been like MMA.
Oh,
that's like true. Yeah.
Ben, for you, sports, you said none. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
Yeah, it probably wasn't that hard of a question. So, do you get the same thing every time you order from a restaurant?
I do not. I'm adventurous.
You're adventurous. Jason, you're correct on that. Do you get the same thing pretty much every time? Nicely done. Do you floss regularly?
Yes, I do. Every day.
Ben got you on that one. Do you floss regularly?
Yes.
What?
I have to. If I'm putting all this money into fixing my mouth.
Before you started working on your teeth, did you floss regularly?
Well, No.
So this is a new revelation, y'all.
Okay. All right. It's new. It's kind of an asterisk one, but that's okay. Yeah. It's just for fun.
Half points.
It's just
give
for candy.
I'll give him the point.
All right.
It's for candy as we talk about flossing.
Yeah. That's right. Right. That's right. So the last question is favorite type of music. Jason, is it rock?
Sorry.
Is your favorite? It's okay. Is your favorite type of music rock?
It is.
All right. And it is Pop Evil.
That is my current favorite band, yes.
All right, nice. And then is jazz your favorite type of music?
It's one of them.
Yes. I'll say yes. We'll say that's a point. And is the jazz flute your favorite instrument?
No, I don't know where the jazz flute came from.
It's from Anchorman. You probably never seen it.
All right. Ben, you are the winner.
What?
6-5.
Ooh, it was the jazz flute.
Jazz flute that gave it away. The Pop Evil, that was kind of a dangerous question because I knew that that could really, you know, the bonus questions were kind of tough.
Yeah.
Because him not having a favorite sport was, you didn't have an opportunity to guess.
Yeah.
So anyways, I have prizes. I have a big bag of Kit Kats and Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Jason, if you would have won, I would have given you this box of Milk Duds.
Okay. Well, you have to pry it out of my cold dead hands at the end of the show. So,
well, you watch MMA. I'm not going to fight you for it because you probably know more about those.
Nah, I would not much more.
No, yeah. All right. So now we're going to get to the meat of the show. We're going to get to some questions and hopefully this works. Again, this is an experiment. We'll see how this goes.
Oh, it'll be great.
They may never invite me back, but this is my third time on the show.
It's true.
It's the third time?
Yeah.
Second time was the COVID show.
I was on the COVID show. I was
with a special guest when we were virtual with several of our listeners.
I was a panel.
Oh,
I was
really?
I'm terrible. No, that's fine.
Terrible memory.
How many episodes have you done?
This would be 151.
Yeah, so there's been a bunch. Don't feel bad.
Yeah.
All right. So you can choose whatever you want. Again, set one, questions 1-11 are pretty simple questions. Set two are going to be a little bit more in depth, 12-24. And set three, 25-35, those are going to be more complex. Those are going to take a little bit of discussion. And I do have the right to do follow-up questions based on your answers just because I'm running the show now and I can do what I want.
It's true.
So just clarification, just like in Jeopardy, we can go right to the $2,000 question if we want to.
Dude, if you want to go in the deep water, go in the deep water. There's sharks swimming there. I'm not saying
I'm going to. I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, it's all up to, that's where I give some control back to you because I am a magnanimous benefit. I am a nice leader. I'm a benevolent dictator. Recorded. Yeah, that's right.
Sometimes you got to do that.
You do. You just got to give a little bit of illusion of control back.
Yeah.
It pacifies the masses, so.
Awesome.
All right. You guys go. It doesn't matter. I don't care.
Hit me first. With a number 22.
He's going right for... Okay, oh, number no, 22. Medium. Okay, this is a pretty good question. I think if you could bring any entertainer back to life to extend their career, who would it be?
I'm going to go with Duke Ellington.
Back to
that's got to be jazz.
It's jazz.
It is
oh my
jazz.
Gosh! And of course, it's your favorite. Then, and the jazz flute's got to be your favorite instrument.
I like the saxophone.
I don't know
about the jazz flute, but
there is a jazz flute.
John Coltrane is also another favorite of mine. You know what I love about these guys is they came in during the roaring 20s, like I can only imagine what culture was like for people of color back then, but they had the guts to go public with their music. And I think it's incredible. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of jazz.
Fantastic. Jason, do you have an answer to that question?
I'm going to get some hate for this, but
oh boy,
I love Michael Jackson. I know there's a lot of like, he may have been a pedophile. It was never proven. I think that guy had some huge mental problems, but
sure.
I would love to hear more of his stuff. I think his music's incredible, and I think it was kind of sad when he was done.
Very much so. So here's my follow-up question, and I gave myself permission to do this. Have you ever cried when you heard that a celebrity had died?
I have not.
Ben?
Ben's probably cries more than I do, and that's not a cut. He's more sensitive that way.
The memory that comes to mind is a strange one, and I don't think I cried because I was sad about it, but I was fairly young when Princess Di died. My mom and my aunts, I think it was over Labor Day weekend, they were just in tears watching it on the news Saturday morning, and I'm just like, way to bring down the room. And then
Who, Princess Diana or your people crying?
Both.
There you go.
But I think I started tearing up because I just kind of, especially at a young, tender age, being the sensitive boy, if I see somebody crying, it's so hard to stop the tears.
I think with Princess Di and that time frame, like kind of pre-internet, she was the darling. You know what I mean? Yeah. And everyone didn't. Absolutely. You know what I mean? So your mom, it was your mom and your grandma?
Mom and aunts and grandma. Yeah.
So I could see how they would be really attached to Princess Di just because I just feel like that was the thing. So, I mean, I would never cry about it, but.
No, and I didn't either. And one thing I want to throw out there, one other thing is if you want to throw the question back at me, you can.
Okay.
So you don't have to, and it's okay if you don't, but if you decide, hey, Dave, what do you think? I will throw my answer to the question number 22 is I would say Robin Williams.
Oh, yes.
I would love to see. So my answer beats both of yours, but okay. Anyway, next number. Next number.
I'm going to go one.
Number one. Start at the very beginning. What's the last show you went through and loved? TV show.
Oh, I barely watch TV anymore.
You know, I wondered about that. I just got that vibe from you. I'm like, I'm going to ask Jason this question. And he's like, I don't watch much TV.
I know. It's not like I'm being pretentious about it. Like, I'm like, I don't watch TV. I read a book. I don't do that either. So I just do a lot of podcasting work.
There you go.
The last show that I went all the way through?
No, it doesn't have to be all the way through. But
The Queen's Gambit then. I'm about halfway through that series.
That's a good show.
I know. Yeah. She's an incredible actor.
Oh, like, yeah.
You know you're supposed to call them actors now?
I know.
Not actress.
I still messed that up.
I do too. I was wondering if you guys were going to correct me, so I thought I'd just say it out loud. But no, that's a really good show. It's interesting about, you know, chess back then, especially women chess players. I mean, heaven forbid.
Yeah.
That's I would say that's the last one. And I watch more when I'm laid off because I shouldn't say that I'm not working. I don't work as many hours. So this is my time to like kind of kick back a little bit and do some work.
So finish Queen's Gambit. And then after the show, I can give you some other shows you're going to want to watch.
Okay.
Just so you know.
All right.
Because I do watch a bit of television. Benjamin.
I'm currently thoroughly enjoying Money Heist.
Oh, I've heard good things. That's in Spanish, correct?
It is.
So Netflix. It is.
So you have to do the subtitle thing?
Sí, señor.
Well, they also have the English dubbed into it.
What do you do? Do you do the dub or do you do the subtitle?
Is it weird?
I do both.
Nah, brah. I do. You have subtitles on and the dub on?
Yes, I do.
What?
That's too much work for me.
I find it.
My brain cannot process both of those at the same time.
I find it fascinating how whoever wrote the written transcription for the captions and then compared to what they're actually saying in the English dub, usually it's pretty accurate, but there's some times where I'm like, that's not what they said.
Yeah.
So I think it's just entertaining to do that. But
does it get easier as you're watching it to pick it up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you're kind of used to the dubbing and the titles and you're like, okay, sure. I got this.
And Netflix, they have some magic. We were talking about the magic app that you can put your face on a celebrity.
Yeah.
Netflix has some magic. Like the dub syncs pretty well with the words that are being spoken by the actors.
I mean, in general, your mouths are, even though it's a different language, are probably moving in the somewhat similar pattern as English. Relative. So
we watch everything with subtitles now because I'm getting old. And once you start watching with subtitles, it's hard to stop watching because you realize how much you miss even if your hearing is good.
Yeah.
You put it all in the subtitles. And we watch a lot of foreign shows because my wife is a French professor. So anyway.
That's funny. My son who has autism, he watches everything with subtitles.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but my wife hates it because then we have to go in there and turn it off. But yeah, he really enjoys it. He's like, no, I want him on.
We do too. All right. Next question.
Well, I got a question for you.
Oh, please do.
So you like French movies?
No, I didn't say that.
Well, okay, he said he watches a lot of them. He didn't say he liked
them. You watch them.
Have you watched this one?
Have you heard of Babette's Feast?
Of course.
That's French, isn't it?
I don't know. I haven't watched it.
No.
I've heard of it. My wife wants me to watch it.
I had to watch it for a worldview class in Cornerstone.
Did you like it? She likes that movie a lot.
I don't remember the point of it. I think I was a bumbling.
There's your sign.
Yeah, it is. I think I was a bumbling college student who was forced to watch it, and I at that point in my worldview development, I didn't quite see the value in international films.
Well, I have been introduced to the value of international films because it makes my wife happy. Happy wife, happy life.
Amen.
So, yeah, I've watched more. I would not watch these movies or shows without her. I wouldn't say insistence, but it's clear it's important to her. So
yeah, you got to do some things that sometimes you just don't want to do in relationships, and that's okay.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she does stuff for you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. No doubt. She does cooking, cleaning. Not that those are her chores. It's not a woman's job.
No, but I mean, I'm talking like hobby stuff. Like, oh, for sure. Like you probably watch stuff that she's like, this is lame.
100%. We go on vacation and frequently we'll go to a baseball game or a sporting event at the city where we are. She's not interested. She'd never go to that without me. But she puts up with it. I watch some French movies and some of them are good. But the point of French cinema is to depress you because they're all sad. Not even lying. They nice. Always end on a bummer down note.
Mm-hmm.
Next question. Who's choosing next?
It's Ben's.
It's Ben. Back to Ben.
How about number 8?
Number 8. You get this should be a pretty simple, fast one. You get to choose between going to see a play, a movie, a concert, or go to a party with your friends. What do you choose?
None of the above. I'm going to a comedy show.
You know, no, this is not you.
No. Who's in charge here? Jason, you are. Thank you.
Fine.
Answer the damn question.
A movie? Okay. Options?
Play a movie, concert, party.
Or is maybe there none of the above?
Maybe a rave, if you'd prefer a rave.
No, I would say...
No, I've never been to a rave.
Movie.
All right, movie. Jason?
I would either lean towards a play or a concert. I'm not much of a movie guy.
No.
I don't know. I like plays. They make you think a little bit more. Like movies, like, you know, you go to like the Marvel movie or whatever. Sure. It's like shoot 'em up or whatever.
They fight.
It's like whatever. But I don't know. I love live music. But yeah, it would either be a play. I know I should pick one. If I had to pick one, I would probably say a concert.
And you do have to pick one. You have to.
Concert.
Have to.
Concert.
Now, have either of you, now Ben, I kind of know the answer to this one. Have either of you ever been in a play or movie?
Not a movie. I've been in several plays.
Have you? I didn't know this about you.
Yeah.
Really? Could you name just a couple of them?
So high school. Production? High school was like To Kill a Mockingbird.
Sure. Were you Atticus Finch?
No, I wasn't.
Or were you Scout?
I was a kid. No, I was Dill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And let's see. I know I can't name anymore in high school because I have a terrible memory.
It's fine.
I played a couple in church, our old church we used to go to. Oh, my gosh. What's one that I talked about? Midsummer Jersey. It was Midsummer's Night's Dream with a Jersey spin. Wow. I was the lead in that.
Did you sing?
No, it was not a musical.
Okay.
I don't do musicals.
Not acting. Okay.
Yeah, just acting, yeah.
Nice.
So I've been in a bunch of them. I just can't name them all.
That's fine.
Oh, Scarlet Pimpernel?
Sure.
Alice in Wonderland?
Yeah, were you Alice?
No, I was not. I was. And now I know that is a musical, but is Alice? Yeah, Alice.
No, it could be, but generally it's not.
We sang in that one, though.
Yeah,
there is like a...
Maybe Scarlet Pimpernel was a music one too.
I think that is.
I don't sing. So basically, I had not leads. I was one of the playing cards in Alice in Wonderland. Sure. So there's I don't even know if it's a speaking role.
Was that at Evergreen Ministries?
Yeah.
I was in a production for Evergreen Ministries as well.
Which one?
Annie.
Okay. That was a little bit before I started doing it. I think maybe a year or two before those other ones came out. Yeah. But
I played Annie.
No, you didn't.
No. And I did not play Danny Warbrooks. Anyway, sorry. Now, Ben, you have, I know you've done some improv, which you've probably talked about. Have you ever been in a proper play?
No, I don't think I have.
All right. But you're filling that. I'm impressed that you're doing improv because that's hard.
Honestly, you know him well.
Yeah.
He's pretty good at improv.
I believe that.
I was thoroughly enjoyed at that. Recital?
Showcase.
Thank you, sorry.
Were you surprised when you heard that he was doing improv, or did you go, yeah, that tracks?
No, I was surprised. I mean, I know he had done it before, like early on in a relationship, you were just finishing up your first session.
Okay.
But Ben just doesn't, I mean, does he strike you as the guy to do improv?
Not
yeah,
at
exactly.
All. Not at all.
So yeah, he did well. It was fun.
It's like that competitive ninja. Like I'm one of the people that you would least expect to do improv. but I do, and I kill it.
I won't do it.
Oh, look at the confidence. I love that. Oh, fantastic.
I'm very confident in my improbability.
I like that. Oh, wow. Should we, I feel like at some point you and I should try some improv. I don't, not that I'm any good. I can always think of something to say. I'm just not promising that it's funny. All right. Next question. Next question. Let's go.
35.
We are jumping to the hard questions.
Do you notice I did one and then the last one? Because I'm OCD.
That's fine. I don't mind that. Okay.
I've only picked even numbers.
Oh, you have. Oh. I've only picked odds.
It's why you guys compliment each other so well.
The yin and the yang.
Yeah. Which one is which? Who's the yin and who's the yang?
I don't know.
I don't even know what.
It doesn't matter. Okay. It's fine. Sorry. You have been, Jason.
Yeah.
You have been tried for a crime and sentenced to death. You get to choose the way you die. What do you choose? And follow up, what was probably the crime you committed based on your personality?
I would choose lethal injection.
Mm. Why?
Because that seems the most, the nicest way to die. I mean, think about the ways you got electrocution. That seems incredibly painful.
I did not specify that it had to be one of the normal ways people are put to death.
Oh.
Now, you can still choose lethal injection.
Okay, well, it would be, I would want a morphine death.
Okay.
Just lots
of morphine.
Yeah, because that is, it just makes you feel, not that I've had morphine. I mean, I don't think you've probably had it in your few accidents. I mean, the quick shot of it.
Yeah,
but it makes you feel warm and it's kind of like heroin. Not that I know what that feels like either.
Uh-huh.
And you just fall asleep.
I've heard that too much is painful, though. I've heard
too much morphine?
Yes. Someone told me that recently.
Well, actually. I'm sure when you go to, you know, I've had to around somebody that had that as their last breath in obviously there's a professional applying it. So I wouldn't want to just like have some junkie like push it in there. You know what I mean?
That's the way you have to die. You can choose morphine, but we're going to find some junkie to administer it.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Can you imagine though the other ways like being shot? Okay.
Oh, the firing squad?
The firing squad.
No.
Because if they're off just a little bit, you're going to feel it. They got to hit it just right. Was it like through your heart, right? Like it's
heart or brain.
Something like that. Like when you're hunting and being hung. I mean, that seems terrible too.
Yeah, you're going to feel that a little bit.
Do you know what? Speaking of that, so funny you're bringing things up to die. I was listening to a podcast today and there's I think the lead singer of Boston killed himself.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's either Journey or Boston. No, Journey died.
Still around, I thought.
Yeah, but they got a Filipino guy that sings.
Did Steve Perry die?
I don't know. I can look it up. But one of those two's band. Do you know how he chose to die? He went in the bathroom and it's not gross or anything and covered all the like the door, you know, for any air to get out.
Sure.
And lit a charcoal grill.
Yeah. So the gas from that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like,
it just makes you sleepy and you fall asleep. It's what people used to do in the car. And you'd go in the garage.
Oh, the carbon monoxide.
My uncle tried to kill himself this way. And you can't do it because now the carbon emission is so clean, you cannot kill yourself that way.
Really?
Yep. I just heard that on a podcast.
Interesting.
I know. At the same time they said it. So what would the crime be? What are you being put to death for? What'd you do?
I don't know. Assassinated the president. Oh, shit.
Sick monster.
We're editing. Not the current president. Just for...
Oh, there's the FBI.
Yeah, exactly.
What's that knock at the door?
Can you imagine?
Jason Terry there.
Yeah. No, I don't actually know. That's weird.
I know. It's a weird question.
I talk about this. Ben and I have talked about this, and he doesn't do this, but I fantasize about being a hero or just like someone messed with my kids and I chase them down and beat the shit out of them or something like that. It'd probably be something like that, but then it would be self-defense. I don't know what I'd be sentenced to death.
So you murdered somebody.
It would probably be murder.
Tied to temper maybe?
Yes.
Okay. See, there we go. We found something out there. I will throw out there one time, speaking of playing a hero, one time I was living in Flint, went outside a thrift store we were at and someone's purse had just been stolen from this woman. Me and another guy chased the guy down and got her purse back.
Yeah?
True story.
Did you like let him go? Did you just get the purse and let him bounce?
The one guy I was with who I didn't know, me and this other dude just randomly decided.
That's awesome.
Suddenly I'm running after this guy and I'm like, what am I doing?
Like
I wasn't fat like I am now. So I ran him down. The other guy pushed him over to a parking lot and I said to the dude, look, just give me the purse and go. I don't care. I just want the purse back.
Yeah.
And he just threw the purse at me and ran off.
Ugh.
And I took the purse back to the woman.
See, it's so crazy because you never know if that guy had a gun.
I mean, I know.
You just reacted.
I did.
That's what you're supposed to do, though. Like,
I guess.
You're supposed to be like, help people out and stuff. But then you think about it. Okay, I'm chasing after this. Like, when you got done, you probably had this conversation in your head. I'm chasing after this guy for a freaking purse. It's not like he murdered her or sexually assaulted her. Like, what if he had a gun and I just, now I'm, you know,
dead. I'm going to be dead because
of a purse.
Yeah.
I don't know. $3 in there.
She didn't even give me a reward.
Oh, seriously,
I gave the purse back to the guy. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. Ben, what way do you choose to die?
So I don't know if you've ever had this, but you know when you go to the dentist,
and
one of the ways that they can numb you is they give you the laughing gas.
Sure, I've done it one time. I hated it.
Oh, I love it. It's just like, I don't know. I think it'd be awesome if that was tinged with a scent that I enjoy.
And what would that scent be? It would be a nice vanilla, mahogany, sandalwood.
Love me some cedarwood.
So some cedarwood with the laughing gas and
maybe a hookah. And just the toxicity of the fumes is so much that it just slowly snuffs the life out of me.
Snuffs.
That's a good pun. And what was your crime, Benjamin?
You know, after watching Money Heist and just seeing the intricacies of these huge heists they planned, there's a part of me that's like, F the establishment. I want to go try this too. And so probably the lives that I put at risk in my pursuit of overthrowing the establishment.
I don't know if I could ever kill somebody and not have like guilt and remorse. Like you watch those movies. What's the drug gangster that just got popped? Or he escaped from Paco
Escobar or something.
Escobar. Yeah.
Did he? I don't know.
No, but just those kind of crime families, when you know they were just popping, they were just killing people, just be like, yeah, okay, you screwed up. Sorry. Bullet in the head and just walk away. Like, I don't know how people can do that and be like, it's cool.
Yeah.
I heard a podcast because I listen to a lot of podcasts. They're talking to a guy who interviewed one of the main assassins for those crime families. And they were like, he was the nicest guy.
Oh, I'm sure he had
like 150 confirmed kills that he did. And I guess they finally caught him. But he was like a pretty cool dude. He just murdered people for a living.
Sorry, yeah, that was his job.
Yeah. All right. Next
Talk
question.
About a work-life balance.
You got to balance. Balance in everything.
What do you do at home as an assassin? Do you play Call of Duty?
No.
You listen to jazz? Like, what?
You bake cookies.
You don't murder. Like, a mechanic doesn't fix the car at home. An assassin doesn't kill people in his spare time.
True.
He doesn't want to play Call of Duty because he murders for a living.
Oh, that's so weird.
It kind of is. All right, next question.
In keeping with my evens, I'm going with 30.
Number 30, sticking with the hard stuff. All right. This is where we get a little bit more serious. What's one of the hardest things you've ever had to do?
Let go.
Of what?
Many things.
Can you name anything?
I can. Well, I would say their names, but I want to respect their privacy.
It was relationships.
Yes, it was foster children in my care that I was, my wife and I were told that we were in line to adopt and that we had cleared all the legal proceedings. And so the hardest thing I've had to do is say goodbye to them on my terms and not allow the state to dictate how that went down. We told them they need to leave on this day. And we fought for that because we needed to fight for our own sanity. Yes, we cared about the kids tremendously, but when we got to the point that we did, we wanted it on our terms. And that was really hard to fight for my family.
What is the longest that you had a foster child and they left your home?
It was 2 years.
So after 2 years, can you give me an age range?
They were, when they left, they were about 2, 4, and 5.
Right. And how many foster kids have you had go through your home?
5.
Okay. So I imagine I cannot fathom the difficulty of that. That does sound incredibly difficult. And I'm sure there were a few tears.
Oh, gosh.
In relation to that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Jason.
Same question?
Same question.
I mean, currently, I would probably say the boundaries I had to set up with my extended family, even though they're terrible. It was just, it was hard to finally actually pull that trigger of saying, yeah, I don't want any more contact with you guys anymore. You're painful to me every time we get together. It's an issue. And
yeah,
I wouldn't say, I know the question, the hardest thing I ever had to do, but again, if you've ever listened to the show, you know, my memory's terrible. So I'm just trying to pull for something current.
That's fine. It doesn't, if it's, you know, if you remember later, it's, you know.
Yeah. No, I think that's it. And unfortunately, you know, for whatever reason, we have this passion with our family, regardless if they're terrible to us, that we feel like we still have to put the old college try with relationships. And it was super hard to do. And like, I don't know why it was super hard to do, because they treated us terribly and it was always just dysfunction. Yeah. And they just said, you know, I just said I couldn't do it anymore. But honestly, like on a daily basis, I think about it, even though they're terrible.
Daily basis, huh?
Yeah. So like, I feel guilty.
How did you do it? How did you communicate this?
It was various ways. Just basically, you know, I just basically said, hey, I'm just tired of all the drama and all the dysfunction, and you're not part of our lives anymore.
Was that face to face or email? Or
it's not face to face. It was some email, some text.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, you know, obviously our listeners know, but I had done that November of last year.
Mm.
And then in January, found out my dad is actually not my biological dad.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And my younger sister. So, and then the one in the middle won't get tested, but yeah, that's a long story. So I reconnected with my sister because she's like blowing my phone up and I wouldn't pick it up, blah, blah, blah. So I had to reestablish that boundary with her, just saying, hey, you know, it was with her. It's not like I'm mad at you.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, it's just better for both of us. She agreed. And then I tried to reconnect with my dad, but he said he wasn't going to answer any questions. So I put that boundary back up and just said, hey, sorry, moving on. So, yeah, it's super hard, right? Like, even though they're terrible, it's still really hard.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't be that way. I shouldn't feel that guilt, but I do.
But why shouldn't you feel that guilt? Why would you should on yourself?
Well, just because I think that I did the right thing.
So then you shouldn't feel guilty.
I know. Well, tell me how to get rid of that.
I think it takes time. I don't know.
Yeah, it does take time.
And maybe it never does go away completely. I imagine it gets better, like grief and different things.
Of course.
But it sounds really hard. I'm sorry for both you guys that you had to do that. But because I'm in charge, it's on to the next question.
I'm going to go with number 28.
28. Oh, right. Number 28. Name a conspiracy theory you think just might be true, or at least have some validity to it.
I'm not a big conspiracy guy, because in here, I can give you the short reason.
Mm-hmm.
People talk. If there's too many people involved in a project, somebody's going to snitch. Agreed. There's just no way.
Sure.
So you talk about the 9/11. You talk about JFK. I think earlier on in like the JFK and all that other stuff, it's probably easier to get away with it because there's no internet
right.
and stuff like that. But I can't answer that. I don't really have a conspiracy. I don't really believe them.
Okay. So there's some good ones out there that we didn't land on the moon, flat earth. There's just a whole bunch, and that's okay. So if your answer is like, no, I'm not, I don't subscribe to
that. I just really don't. I mean, the flat earth, come on. Is that a conspiracy or are you just an idiot? I mean, you can look at a freaking map. Like, you can look at pictures from space. Yeah,
exactly their point, Jason. Look at a map. What is it? Oh, it's flat.
Damn it. I just gave them fodder when I just said that.
You just created two more flat earthers out there of your listeners.
What other ones are out there?
Breatharians.
I don't know what that is.
You don't need anything but the air you breathe. The your need to drink water has been the government has lied to us and made us and put chemicals in it to make us addicted to it, but we don't need anything but the air we breathe.
Again, idiot.
Try that 100%. For a week.
Yeah, no.
Tell us how it goes.
Well, they say that there's people who have done it, and but they, you know, are not available for interview.
Yeah, there's a ton of them. 9/11.
There's so many
space stuff.
There's a lot of crazy conspiracies.
COVID-19.
Yep. Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster.
I
some
The Bigfoot?
Yeah.
See, okay, is that a conspiracy, though?
Well, no, but I'm going to throw it in there because it's debated whether it exists mm-hmm. or not. So we're going to include it, not necessarily a conspiracy theory, but sort of fits here. But, so I'll include it.
But then I think, again, how many people have been in the woods and no one's actually seen it? Like, come on.
I agree. See, like, yeah.
But we all often find animals that have no one ever knew about. Like, I swear once a year, it's mostly in the water. I'll have to say,
sure.
Be like, oh, look at this new species here. Like, what the heck is this thing?
Or the Amazon.
Yeah, or the Amazon, really like a bug forest. Or something. Yeah, but no, sure. I don't really subscribe to that stuff.
All right. No, that's a fair answer, Ben.
You know, I go back to a couple of months before COVID hit. Maybe it was a month. I don't remember. It was not a very long time. And I'm listening to NPR because it's what I do. And they have a news story about a lab in Wuhan, China.
Yeah.
And about how certain colleges and universities in America were having their financial aid severed because of their relationship with this lab in Wuhan. And it's just like, wait, okay, that's interesting. And then a few weeks later, I hear Wuhan again in the news, yep. as that's the origin site of the COVID-19. And they're saying that it's from a bat in a market. And this thing just seems so far more sophisticated to have just popped up out of a bat at a market. I really think there is something deeper going on. I don't know what it is. You can call me paranoid. But there's no, just something.
I
kind of
agree with him a little bit. So I guess I'm on board with, I don't know.
I found it. I found the conspiracy theory, and you guys are in agreement that maybe there's something going on.
For it to have such a huge grip on everything.
Yeah. And like how many bat, I mean, they've done the wet market thing for a billion years. You know sure. what I mean? And all of a sudden, yeah, I would agree with you a little bit.
It's just something that makes me go,
Yeah.
But then that's the thing. Like, we'll never find out. No, I mean,
we'll never know.
Never know.
There's a lot of things I think we'll never, ever know because we just don't have. You know, why would we? The governments are always going to have secrets that they keep from us, and we'll never know some of the stuff. And oh, well.
This is where I hope when I die and go to heaven, I can be like, yo, what's up? Let's talk.
Amen to that.
You know what I mean?
Is heaven 100%. A conspiracy?
Yeah.
Well, so I'm freelancing here. I'm going off script.
Oh,
so,
boy.
You get to heaven, what's the first question you ask? You get a one-on-one with JC, and you're sitting down, you're at your entrance interview.
First question.
Like, what's the first question you ask? What's the first thing you want? You haven't gone in. You haven't seen anybody. Like, what's the first thing you ask for?
All right, I'm
going to
break everyone's heart. Who's my real dad?
Can you have a little violin noise here, a little something sad?
I don't know who my real dad is.
I have a friend. One of my best friends has never met his real dad. He has no idea. I have another good friend, so.
Yeah, I'm not, it doesn't really bother me, but I was just trying to make a joke of a shitty situation.
I don't blame you, though. That'd be a fair first question.
How about you?
I go back to passages in the Bible where people express lament in ways of, how long will you allow me to suffer here in this? Mm. And so my first question would be related to that. What took you so long? Like, why'd you drag this out and let humanity go through so much
like
suffering?
Yeah, like kids getting cancer. Like, come on, bro.
Sure.
Like, that's horrible.
You would call Jesus bro.
And I'll go, bro.
And go straight to hell. That's exactly what'll happen.
That's not how Christianity works.
You push a button and it shoot opens and you go straight to hell.
Sounds like a Catholic religion.
Nice.
All right, next question.
I'm going to bring it back. Let's go to number 9.
Number nine. All right. That's a Beatle reference for those who you don't know. Number 9.
We're not old.
No, I know. It's okay. So what movie have you probably watched the most times? Maybe not in its entirety.
This is going to be Sheltered Ben right here.
No, it's not. Okay. I mean, maybe. So every time I watch it, it messes with my mind, but I just can't. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the deal is. It's the butterfly effect. Isn't that dumb?
What?
No, Ashton Kutcher, right?
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
Never saw it.
You got to watch it. It's a mind, you know what.
Yeah.
Like, I watched it in college one time, and it was late at night. And somehow, after watching it, my brain was just in a really weird place. And it was one of those moments where you're like almost asleep, but you're not.
Sure.
Somehow I grabbed my cell phone and I called my friend Rachel, and it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I don't recall what I said or talked about, but my brain was just in this weird space where I, you know, after watching the movie, for whatever reason, I just thought something and did it without really thinking beyond that. So, and then there's several parts of that movie too that are just awful. I mean, it delves into some abuse that main characters went through, and how Ashton's character, we're on a first name basis, Ashton.
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Mr.
His character tries to go back to make things right. There's just so much depth to that movie, and it just really gets me every time. I've probably seen it, I'd say, at least 10 times.
Really? Wow. Okay. Yep. Great answer. Very unexpected. Jason.
Mine's not as good. Christmas Vacation. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Come on, Vacation. Yeah. I mean, I own it.
What's your favorite part? Like, what makes you laugh every single time you see it?
Just the awkwardness and the... Even though Chevy Chase is kind of a dick, like in real life, no one likes him.
Yeah, I do. Which Chevy and I have an understanding.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Which really pisses me off, because I always, like, you never want to know your heroes. They always say never meet your heroes. Yeah, never meet him. Yeah. Not that he was a hero, but I just see myself doing all of that. Like, I just being to the extreme with those kind of things. And it's just, I finally have, like, broken my kids into it, because it is PG-13. They do swear a little bit. And I'm a potty mouth, too. But but there is a weird part in there where, is it Christy Brinkley? She takes her.
Don't look at me.
She comes out of the pool.
Yeah. It's super sexy. Like, you know what I mean? And I'm watching it with my 13-year-old. It is. And my 11-year-old. And I'm just like, this is awkward.
Ouch. Yeah. 100%.
But no, that, I would say that one, and then The Goonies.
The Goonies.
The Goonies have been
truffle shuffle.
The Goonies are like, that's my life. Like, I wish I could be a Goonie. Like, I am a Goonie. Goonies never die.
That's a great movie. Fantastic. It's a lot of fun. And when you're a little kid, and that sense of adventure and exploration and discovery, finding a freaking pirate ship in a cave, are you kidding me?
I know.
Oh, my goodness.
It reminds me of, like, my childhood. Like, my kids don't experience that now because of technology and screens and stuff like that.
They experience it on a video game.
Yeah, but
this,
like,
generation, am I right?
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Seriously. But it is. I mean, I love video games. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, I remember some of those adventures. I mean, not as extravagant as the Goonies, but I remember as a kid running around the neighborhood, like, finding stuff. And
so. Absolutely. Next question.
I'm going to go with 26.
26.
Oh, you're just going for the deep end tonight.
We are going to get into it here. We may not have much time for more questions after this one.
Oh, boy.
What does the church need to stop doing?
The church needs to stop being hypocrites. The church needs to stop hating on gay people, or they need to do their work. They need to do what we're supposed to do as Christians and love everybody and not worry about all this other crap that's going on. Ben and I talk about this a lot, about just how frustrated we are with, that's why people are leaving the church.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, you got to adapt to what's going on. And part of it is, you know, it's kind of not hot right now because of COVID, but before COVID had the LGBT, before COVID happened, the LGBTQ, you know, I don't know. I'm super passionate about them being accepted into the church. We just talked about that, about, like, leadership roles, like LGBTQ are most organizations don't let them in leadership. And I'm just like, this is so stupid. I'm so tired of this. So that's my 2 cents on that.
Why do you think the church is so reluctant to change specifically in that category, or anything really, where they're stuck? Like, what is it that causes that resistance?
I think it's just old school mentality. Like, as the generation grows old, these pastors are getting older and recycling, you know what I mean? Like, I always like to say. And I just think they're hanging on to these small passages in the Bible that talk about being gay and not laying with a man and stuff like that. But everyone's got to remember, that's not the original Bible. stuff was added to that, like the New James Version and stuff like that. That's not the original. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that phrase isn't original. I don't know. I'm not that much of a scholar, but they just cling on to this Bible so much, and I don't know.
Apparently, and I'm not an expert here, but the word homosexual was not added to the Bible until the 1950s.
There you go. So that kind of stuff, like, that's weird, right? This is supposed to be a sacred a sacred thing. And again, Ben and I always talk about, too, why did the Bible stop being written? And then we're just like, this is it. Like, so much more life has happened since the last whatever. I don't know what chapter was written last. I mean, they want you to think Revelation, but wasn't that written before some of the chapters in the Bible anyways? Like, Ben would know. I don't know. But I'm just frustrated with the whole thing about the way church goes. I grew up in a really hypocritical family with religion. Like, I was beaten, but yet we went to church,
sure,
presented these kind of things. So
a facade.
It's amazing that I even want to be around religion because of the pain I went through, but yet we still went to church. And I think the bottom line is just do what you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Don't put up this fake thing.
Do you go to church now?
I'm struggling to go. Okay. I help out with production, so I go once a month. But we're getting back into it.
Okay.
We are, but it's been a little bit of a, I don't know. I mean, our church, it just shrunk with the COVID thing. Like, there was a lot of people that were anti-mask that went to another church that wasn't requiring masks. So, I mean, we lost over a third of our congregation, and they haven't come back.
My church closed, so
we
shut the doors.
Wow, yeah. So we're down to like one service, and we were packed at two, and it's just a bummer. So yeah,
absolutely, Ben, what does the church need to stop doing?
Why do you have your phone out?
Yeah, he's got his phone out.
Yeah. We start talking, and he brought his phone up, and I was like, oh, he's probably texting Andy or something.
He prepared a message, and he didn't even know the question.
I prepared a message.
No, this was a conversation I was having with a former classmate from Cornerstone. So repeat the question so I can structure my answer and not just read my phone.
What does the church need to stop doing?
Okay. The church needs to stop the guilt and shame cycle that it is perpetrating with ideas such as you have to be reading your Bible every single day. You have to be praying. There's so much gotchas that the church is so into. And it's always about how we're not doing enough, how we're not doing enough reading, we're not spending enough time in prayer, we're not loving Jesus the right way. The church needs to stop that talk track and that baggage that they're creating. Because last I knew, what Jesus was about was not that. Jesus is about, come to me, all who are burdened, and I'll give you rest. Mm. There's not a list of things that you should be doing. And so I think the church creates a lot of guilt, and that guilt creates a lot of curriculum, and that curriculum generates a lot of sales, and the sales generate a lot of money. And then you see how capitalism has entrenched itself into the church. And so the church needs to stop playing off of the frailty of its people. The people are looking for ways to improve themselves, and so they're doing it by getting plugged into more Bible studies and getting more connected to all these things. But one thing that I hear often is follow the money. Like, people are also being pressured to give money to the church. Well, where's that money going? It's going all kinds of places, to buy curriculum, to have production, everything else. So I know that's a really long, drawn out answer, but the church just needs to stop the shame cycles.
I intended that answer, or that question, to have long, drawn out answer. So the thing that you just want to talk for a second on this is the whole idea of capitalism becoming intertwined with the church. And I'm not against capitalism, not pro-socialism or communism or anything like that. But I do think it is something that is really important to realize how much it has infiltrated the church. The number one reason I've heard people leave churches is because they aren't getting fed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this consumeristic mentality, right? Instead of like, this is where I'm called to go, is like, are they giving me enough to consume where I'm happy?
So they're like, it's not doing it for me, I'm out.
Yeah. I'm not getting fed at this church, Jason. It just, you know, I need to go somewhere I'm getting fed, which is, again, it's about you consuming something. And there's validity to that sometimes. Sometimes it's a good fit. But anyway, that's my commentary. Good answer. Next question. Do we have time?
Oh, wow. I thought we would dive into that one a little bit longer.
We can more.
No, it's totally fine.
But I like mean, you're running the show.
Well, I know, but if you had more to say.
No,
that's all I'm saying.
I didn't, but you kind of brought up the being fed, but then Ben's not doesn't like the church saying you need to pray and do all this stuff. So where's the balance there? Like, you know what I mean? Like you want them to be like, well, come to me, come to, you know, Jesus, like, come to me. So they're coming, but they're not being fed. So how do we keep them coming? You know what I'm saying? Like, shouldn't you be doing your prayers and all that other work? But not make someone feel guilty about it.
Right.
I agree with that 100%. But
I just look at my church, and it's not perfect by any means, but I think they're doing a lot of things right. Something happened a couple of weeks ago that would have never flied at flown.
Anyway, it
would never fly anywhere else.
There you go.
That statement. I don't want to say too many details because I want to be respectful if these people happen to listen, but suffice it to say, a couple within our church who is going through a difficult season in their marriage, their relationship, what have you, hosted an incredible event for our church. I mean, Furniture City ice cream truck, like a barbecue tent, like a pig roast, and like with the actual pigs, and they had a camel and a cakewalk and all this stuff.
A camel roast? What?
There was a camel. We didn't eat
they
it.
Rode oh, the camel. Oh,
lame.
But
no, sorry.
So all of this stuff is happening, and it's no secret that this couple has issues, and yet they were, I hate to say permitted, but the church allowed and stood behind them in hosting this event, even though they weren't perfect and even though they have their baggage. The church didn't look at them and say, you need to clean up your act first before we go to your place to do this event. The church just said, you're one of us. You want to do this? We want to support you in it. And what happened was it was an incredible event. I mean, neighbors from their neighborhood started showing up, not even knowing it was necessarily a church thing. We played human bingo. And so everybody's just wandering around with their bingo card, asking random questions, and it's generating all this conversation. And I'm just like, this is incredible. And it really spoke a lot to me of how quick I am to judge people and how quick I am to say, you can't be leading this because you're dealing with this. It was just a very refreshing, like, you don't have to be perfect here, and you can engage, and there's no baggage. Yeah, deal with your shit, of course, but it's not going to hold you back or stop you from active participation in the church. And I worship with homeless people, which has also been kind of mind-boggling. So, yeah, I have a lot of frustrations with the church in general, but I'm glad to be part of a church where it's okay to not be okay.
One quick follow-up to that. I disagree wholeheartedly with Ben with that. I think that reminds me of the hypocrite. Like, oh, we're messed up, but we're just going to pretend that we're going to do this event and this is going to be amazing. See, I disagree. I like your attitude around it, but it's like if everyone knows that they're struggling and things are going wrong, maybe get your shit straight first and then, you know what I mean? Because I don't want to follow someone that doesn't have their ducks in a row. I get it. We all get bumps, but I don't know. To me, that it doesn't sit well. That's just me personally. Because it's like you're shitty at home, but you're there at church. I got the shit beat out of me, but we went to church. My parents were in ministry. When I say ministry, but like volunteers and stuff.
But
like
did
that.
Your parents talk about the fact that you were abused at church?
No.
So that's where I think this is different. It's not like
they got up in front of church and said that?
Or is not in front of church.
But just it's known, right?
It's known amongst those who need to know.
Yeah.
and they're dealing with it.
Totally fine with that. But just to me, it seems like it kind of lines up with that hypocrite thing. Like I can't get my shit together over here, but I can put on some incredible event and pretend that everything's great.
I don't think anybody was pretending. I think it was just we're hosting this party, even though we're kind of a mess.
Yeah, fair enough.
I just wanted to let you guys go a little bit there and kind of see where that went.
Yeah, I agree with some of what Ben says, but it just reminds me of the hypocritical things of where.
Well, I think it really comes down to intent.
True. What their intent is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like with your parents, the intent was we're going to keep the secret because if the church found out, then we'd be dead. Whereas the intent with the couple I mentioned, like when this individual came to me and asked for prayer and told me what was going on, I was flabbergasted. Like even to this day, I'm like, wait, really? do I need to turn my hearing aids up? Like, what did you just tell me? Like, oh, okay then.
I can understand the sensitivity you have towards hypocrisy and seeing through the facade. And I can see where, you know, a situation like that could be, hey, come, let's all pretend everything's okay. But maybe it sounds like that wasn't exactly what was happening. It was saying, hey, we're broken and we have this issue or problem, but we still want to be present in community and to contribute to the community. But I don't think you have a problem with that.
No, I don't. 100%. I just the general vibe, not this specific situation, just that general vibe of like, we can't get we're not doing our work, but we're going to pretend that we're doing our work and then have this event or whatever, or be a leader in the
we're going to ignore the problem.
Right.
Because you want to give to the church. We're going to pretend like you don't have a problem.
Yeah.
And we'll take from you and we'll let you do this as long. Yeah. I could see where it could go sideways real fast.
Right. And I don't want to dig myself a hole. I think I probably already have. I mean, I don't want to say I don't want people at the church doing stuff if they're broken, I guess. It just seems weird to me that you would want to do that event. If you like, to me, I'd be like, oh shit, I got issues at home. I need to work on this. I cannot focus on this part of the church or doing these huge events or whatever it is. That's just me.
I don't think you have a hole to dig out of.
Okay, good.
It didn't come across to me that way at all.
All right.
So I think, part of the problem, I think, is you get the church is a lot of money to run the church. You got to pay for the building. You got to pay for the pastor, which you got to get people in the seats and get them converted so that they're tithing. And it's just, it's a problem.
It's a cycle. It is.
Yeah. But the money.
But the problem is without that, you don't, it's not like we're back in the Bible times where everyone's just going to the town square. Like church doesn't survive without cash. It's just not going to work.
Nope. Yeah. It's kind of like the balance between if you're a believer, should you be doing the different tenets of the faith that your religion says you should do? Yeah, you should, but not without, how do you divorce it from the guilt and shame? I don't know.
Yeah.
Do we have time for another question or do we need to wrap? Because we're getting close.
We can probably do one more.
Okay. It's up to you guys.
Let's
do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're the host. Because I am the host.
You can keep talking. I'll just hit stop on there and we'll be talking for another hour. You'll go to listen to it. You're like, wait a minute.
No, I'm not going to listen to this. What are you talking about? I never listen to the stuff I record.
I don't either. Only editing. Other than that, I don't listen to it.
Okay. One more. But that's where you guys, this still is your podcast. Because I would just keep going, but I want to be sensitive to the time frame that you normally have. I'm a very sensitive guy.
I like that.
Last question. Who's asking?
Don't you have like some ones at the end? Do you want to get to any of those?
Oh, man, these are so strange.
We'll pick another one. I don't know who's
turning. No, it's fine. We can go to the weird ones. If you want a weird question to wrap it up, we can go to the odd ones.
I shouldn't have said that.
1 through 4.
It's your turn to pick.
I warned you. These are weird questions.
2.5.
These are from
3.
You know what? Never mind. It doesn't matter. I'm going to ask the question I want to ask.
Yeah, just do it. Go for it. You're in charge.
I'm in charge. So this is the question. I warned you. It's strange. If you were a piece of steak, what cut would you be, and who would you want to eat you?
I would be a filet mignon.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And I would like to be eaten by the individual who introduced me to the filet mignon. And he is, I don't know if you know him. He's been around a while. Used to be at Bella Vista Church. John Fry.
No, I don't know him.
He was also the pastor that married my wife and I.
Okay.
We had a house church And one night he made filet mignon.
Jeez, how much money is he making? Talk about the money.
Hello.
Ding, 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 ding.
There it is. Goes right back to the money.
Which, you know, he and his wife have a pretty modest life, but he wanted to treat us. So he did.
That's cool. And you would want him to eat you?
Why not?
That's great. Told you it was a weird question. You asked for it. Jason.
I don't even know how to respond.
Should you. You know how quickly he responded that kind of troubles me. He was like, I have an answer.
That's the improv thing in him. I heard that through that answer.
Very good.
I don't know. Like, I feel like we shouldn't end on this.
Fair enough.
I would say I'm a huge fan of, like, the Sizzler, like, brand Sizzler. I don't know why. Like,
sure.
It's really good to me. I've had New York Strip, and I've had, I don't know how to pronounce it, filet mignon.
I don't know.
Filet mignon.
Yeah, everyone just kind of goes, filet mignon.
I love the filet.
Yeah, I love the filet.
Yeah.
Who would I want to eat me? My wife.
Oh, wow. So this is getting cut. Great.
I don't know. I don't have an answer for that one. I feel like we have to end on
a... Maybe you should pick a good closing question.
Well, no, I'm not choosing. I choose that one. You guys just choose another.
I'm not editing this
out. All
right,
hold on.
Okay, we'll choose. It's got to be a hard one, though.
It's fine. Let me... you know what? This is...
36.
This is... There isn't a 36.
God, that was
34.
You know
for
what?
For the close.
I'm going to do this. I'm going to override it one more time. I'm going to go with Jason's advice. I'm going to pick one that I think would be a good way to
end. Yeah, let's wrap it up with a good one.
What's some of the best advice you've ever been given? Do you like that one?
Yes.
That's pretty good? All right.
I would say for me, and I've learned this recently, and I'm still on the struggle bus, but just take time to listen to the person that is speaking. Mm. Whether it's listening to a voice message, whether it's listening to your spouse, just don't interrupt them. Listen to what they say and don't. It's the conversations and the relationships are so much better when that happens. And that's an insane, like, I have struggled with that my whole life. And that is, like, one of the best pieces of advice. And no one really told me that. I think everyone's told me that for the last 20 years, and I finally kind of realized, like, took the advice and tried to work on it. Not perfect by any means.
Yeah, one of the things I think that's really good, because one of the things I have tried to struggle with, because I've been trained to have my brain work quickly and always have a response.
Yes.
And so I don't always listen. I don't listen to listen. I listen for to respond.
Yes.
Listen to understand. Don't listen to respond.
There it is. That's it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's good. Ben?
I am on the fence with this one, but I'm going to go with my initial gut reaction. One of my mentors in college saw me spinning my wheels, trying to do absolutely everything, be in student development, be on the traveling improv team for Cornerstone, going on mission trips, going to churches and speaking. He looked at me one day, and I'll never forget it. He said, Ben, I need you to listen to this. I have something really important I need you to hear. I said, okay. He's like, no, are you listening? Are you with me? It's like, yes. What's up? He's like, you have to hear and understand this. And then he, in his very dramatic, smooth voice, says, nothing essential stops when I rest. And he's like, repeat that. And I was like, nothing essential stops when I rest. He's like, now write it down. And I wrote it down. He's like, now read it back to me. Nothing essential stops when I rest. He's like, that's your mission. You are doing too much. Slow down. And it just struck me as this. It's so true. Like, nothing essential is going to stop when I rest. The world's going to go on without me. I don't need to be super crazy busy. It's okay for me to pause. But I say I'm on the fence about that because I do feel like, especially during this time of year, I think I can overdo rest. I think I can spend too much time working on a puzzle or, you know, things like that. And at that point, things do kind of stop that are essential. And so I'm trying to find the balance there. and I haven't quite found it.
Can I ask what the other one was that you're on the fence about?
Well, it was just that whole piece of I'm on the fence.
If it's good advice.
Yeah. I'm on the fence if it's really good advice.
I thought maybe there's another piece of advice. I'm sorry. I totally misunderstood. No, I do. I think that's good advice. Just not everything. Because I think there is a seduction of thinking I'm essential.
And yes.
You kind of are, but you got to rest is super important. But you can't overdo it.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm just trying to find the balance between rest, but also being engaged and not just checking out.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, right. David.
Yes, sir.
This has been amazing. I appreciate it.
Hey, I would do this again if you ever in a few months, if you need a break and you want me to come back and do this, I would do this again. I have lots more questions. We only got through like 7 or 8 of them.
Right, for sure.
35.
Yeah, I think it's good for, I mean, some of our answers, our listeners probably have heard some of them.
Yeah, that's true.
They haven't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's the cool part, right? Is having someone else ask questions that
sure
maybe we haven't answered before.
Yeah.
So. Really appreciate it. Why don't you tell everyone about, you have 2 podcasts?
Well,
are you nuts like me?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm nuts like you, but,
okay. Maybe, tell me about
maybe more, maybe less. One has been on hiatus for a couple of years. It's called An Open Letter. And, what we do on there, we're trying to get it started back up, but it's out there if you want to listen to it. What we try to do, the premise was that we want to talk about items that the church is either not talking about well or not talking about at all.
Mm.
For those of who have listened to all your episodes and have heard me before, they know I used to be a pastor. And so we want to delve into, and I'm still very much involved in the church where I currently attend. So there's certain things the church doesn't, they're just not doing
right.
Yeah. And so it's not like we have, okay, this is the right way to say it. We just want to at least have a conversation about it, bring people on to go, let's talk about the whole transphobia thing and suicide, depression, mental health, lots and lots of different things. That's the first podcast that's been around for probably 4 years. I haven't recorded an episode for a couple of years, but released one. I just recorded one about a month ago. Podcast number 2 is called Watch Your Mouth, the Watch Your Mouth podcast. There are a couple with that name out there. So if you see the green logo that says the Watch Your Mouth podcast, and it talks about a father and daughter, that's myself and my daughter, Milo. What we do, and we've been doing this for just over 2 years now, is we look up it's kind of like entomology, mm-hmm. where we look up the history of different phrases that we use every day or all the time. Like, hey, I made this from scratch. Well, we all know what that means, but why in the world did that get tied to bacon?
That's cool.
So we look up, we do the research and go, hey, we're going to go paint the town red. Why did we start saying that? The word,
it's raining cats and dogs.
Yes, yeah.
With Ellen Baca.
We had Ellen Baca on the show. She did.
Did
she,
you? No,
yeah, we did.
Very
she
cool.
was on the show, and she did a weather themed one. But we've done the word okay. I've done a couple biopics where I looked into the history of Colonel Sanders and Dr. Seuss.
Don't forget Chef Boyardee
and Chef Boyardee. Ben has listened to some episodes, so that's the podcast.
You did the Dr. Seuss one.
I don't know if people will believe this. We released the episode on his birthday coincidentally.
Really?
100%. It was not on purpose. I was like, oh, I'm going to do my second biopic. I'm going to pick Dr. Seuss. I'm going to release. Oh my gosh, we're releasing it on his birthday. It was not intentional. And there's a story there, let me tell you.
Yeah, he's not as what everyone thinks he is.
No, I could tell you. But yeah, listen to the episode.
All right. Well, we'll obviously include all that stuff in the show notes. Ben will. And like we always say, damn it. What's our tagline?
You always say, damn it, what's your tagline? That's a weird tagline.
I know, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I got it. And then see, this is how when you're editing.
And always remember, keep the faith, do your work, and dare to be uncomfortable.
No, and live life unfiltered.
I don't even know.
Oh my! See, we don't have a rundown.
Like, I know, man.
You're so thrown off by me taking over.
It's true.
Are you doing it?
Okay.
I'll do the tagline for Watch Your Mouth is stay curious and carry a hatchet. It's literally what it is. There's a story. Never mind. I'm sorry. You're
nice.
Tagline.
Keep the faith, do your work, and live life unfiltered.
Goodbye.